Thank you. Be seated if you would. Please be seated. Thank you so much. And let's get our Bibles open tonight to the book of 1 Peter. And I was thinking about this today, and Pastor Ray giving up his Sunday and Wednesday to preach, and of course that's a big deal. And thank you so much for the opportunity and the trust there, Pastor. But I figured out why he did it. Because after you hear me all day, you're going to be like, man, we love our pastor's preaching so much. What a blessing. Look what we have. Look what we could have had, you know? And so I think that's what he did, all right? But take in your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter number 1. You know, I tell you, I sat down, I've been thinking about our church theme for 2022 for a while. And pretty much we could have just repeated the theme for 2021 and that we did in 2019 or 2020, I guess, because it was all just crazy, you know. Like our theme for 2020 was renewing your focus, you know, 2020 vision. Of course, everybody did a play on that probably. But then we're out of church for 6 months. We're online. And so I thought, let's just keep the same banner and everything and just redo it in 2021. But we didn't do that. But the thought that I had was I want our church in Long Beach there to get back to work. You know, we've been hitting the pause button for way too long, and it's time we get back to doing what God wants us to do. And so the theme for 2022 in our church, I was reading in Nehemiah, and Nehemiah said, and I continued in the work. And the theme for our church in 2022 is continue. Amen. Your pastor ripped me off a year in advance. How did he do it? No, I'm just kidding. But I walked in today and I was like, oh, what's your theme? And I was like, oh man, everybody in my church is going to think I stole it from Napa. But I didn't. It's just great minds think alike. And so do ours. Okay, all right. So, no, I'm kidding. But that was just kind of a funny thing there. I just thought, that's great. You know, you can see where I've been trained, you know, so I think that way. But I want to just tell you a little bit as you're still turning to 1 Peter, some of you, and I'll give you that opportunity there. But our church is, I want to just tell you a little bit about our church. And I don't have a lengthy message tonight, but don't say amen on that. But we're in North Long Beach, as I mentioned earlier. And we're, you know, Long Beach is the international city. And I thought for a while, I wonder if God's going to make me a missionary. And I had surrendered to that. I really had. I'm talking like a year ago. And God just, you know, through that whole thing, I was thinking, God, you know, in other places, you know, people in Long Beach don't seem to want to hear anything. And there's other places where people want to hear. And I was thinking, should I be a missionary? And God just kind of opened my eyes in our missions conference and said, you are one. Amen. Look at your city. Every culture in the world comes to Long Beach. And it's the international city. We have in our church a Spanish ministry, of course. You know, I'm sure you have one. I know you have one as well. And so we have a Spanish ministry in our church, and I'm trying to learn Spanish. I'm on Duolingo, you know, the little owl that gets on your nerves and reminds you all the time, like, you're worthless, sign in and do this, you know. And so I've got a 39-day streak going, okay? Now, I can't say 39 in Spanish yet, but I can say that I'm on a 39-day streak, okay? And so my secretary, I have a church secretary and a school secretary, and they both are their sisters, and they're bilingual. And so when I get a little bit further along, I'm going to say, Nancy, you got to speak to me in Spanish. But every time I try, they speak so fast. I'm like, más despacio, por favor. Yo soy el gringo. You know, I don't understand. Slow down. But so we have a Spanish ministry. We have a growing, thriving Filipino ministry, the Mabuhay class. And they're the most giving, loving people. They have a Christmas party every year, December 3rd, that's coming up this year. And it'll be the wildest party I go to all year. I mean, I think they're going to go to a casino this year and do it. So it's going to be really, really interesting. But they always have great food and all that. And we have a small Cambodian ministry. And we're reaching a couple folks around our neighborhood and that. And just trying to branch out. We want to start a homeless ministry. We recently had the commander of the North Long Beach Police Department come in with about three or four other police officers, and we've got a guy in our church who's now on SWAT and things like that in Long Beach, which is one of the most difficult places to be a cop in America and to get on that squad. So we've had an inroad. They want to start doing something for our police officers. Amen, Brother Jeff, all right? And we want to reach them. We want to reach our fire departments. And there's so many different avenues of ministry, and it's the same up here as well. And I'm glad to hear you're still running the buses and things of that nature. So that's wonderful. And I hope that if you ever get down there, you can come see us. Brother Steve's preached in our church. And Brother Jonathan's preached in our church. Pastor, of course, preached in our church many times. Brother Jeff even gave a testimony when he was down there. They have a wonderful job. We had people crying at the altar. It was wonderful. Revival broke out. But it was great. And I hope that you'll come see us sometime if you pass through there to go to Disneyland or to go to on a cruise at a Long Beach or whatever you're doing, that buy drugs, whatever you're doing down in Long Beach. You just come see us, and we know where the good ones are, okay? And not the drugs, okay? Not the drugs. But before I preach, I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness. And honestly, it's so good to come back. And it's always good to see people I don't know, because that means things are happening and people are growing and people are getting saved, and that's awesome. But it's great to see people that I know and that have been here for so long. And good to see Brother Schulte still around and building and being too strong for his age and things like that, you know. And it's good to see just so many of you that are faithful. And I preached a message in our church recently on unnoticed fruitfulness. And as a Christian, you have to learn to be okay with unnoticed fruitfulness. Because sometimes you can labor and labor and labor and say, well, where's the fruit? But the fruit isn't always seen here. But God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. God doesn't forget your labor, and I just want to encourage you to keep sowing. You may not see a lot of fruit pop up right away, but if you ever have plants that grow and you can keep them alive, and the trees that grow, it takes a while to produce that fruit. And so you just stay faithful and be okay with some unnoticed fruitfulness, knowing that if you sow, you will reap. And that's a promise of God. That's a law of sowing and reaping. And I just wanted to encourage you with that. And because we're traveling home tonight after the service, my family pray for us. Because of that, that's the whole message right there. We're going to pray and dismiss, so we can get on the road tonight. No, I'm just messing with you. I want to give you a thought tonight that I hope will be a help to you out of the book of 1 Peter, and thank you for listening, and thank you for coming back tonight after you heard me this morning. 1 Peter chapter number 1, and I want you to look down at verse number 6. And tonight, I don't come to you with a conference message. I don't even know if I have any of those. I come to you tonight with the heart of a pastor that just loves people and wants to help fellow Christians, and I hope the message tonight will do that for you and encourage you. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I'd like to pray with you together before we begin. Father, I pray now that as I speak that, Lord, I don't want to get in your way at all. I pray that you would just, Lord, I must decrease, Lord, but you must increase. And I pray that tonight in the folks that are listening here online, that are listening in the service tonight, Lord, in our minds and our hearts, I pray that you would increase. And that we would decrease, and that you would speak to us and do the work that I cannot do. I pray that you'd speak to the inside as the folks hear my voice on the outside, and that you would work in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I am a little different in many ways. We're all weird in our own ways, right? I like tests. I know. Some of you are like, I used to like you, you know. I like tests. And let me explain why. Now, if it was a test like math, where it was like you had to figure out something, no. I don't know any profession in the world that really needs math, okay? You don't need it, teenagers. Stop trying. I'm just kidding. There are plenty of them out there, okay? There are plenty of them out there. But I was not beginning that. But what I loved about tests is the memorization part. That's the only way I made it through school, I feel like, is that I can memorize. And I can't even remember half of my children's lives, but I can remember, you know, the date of D-Day and random facts from history. I can remember those things, right? But my wife's like, you remember what happened last week? No. What did you preach last Sunday? No idea. But yeah, I can tell you, you know, the date of some random fact from history. That's just kind of how my mind works. But in school, I got through school because I could memorize. And so they give you a list of things. I was like, okay, I can do that. And so I enjoyed it. I liked certain types of tests. But can I tell you something? There are certain kind of tests I don't like. I don't like the testing of my faith. I don't like the testing of my faithfulness. I don't like the testing of my obedience to God or my self-reliance or things like that. I don't like those tests, but the reality is, as a Christian, you have to be aware and you have to acknowledge and know that you must go through tests. You have to go through trials. There's no way around it. Now, I know that's not an encouraging thing to say, but if you look through Scripture, love must be tested. Love must be proven. Why was there a tree in the garden in the first place? There is a testing throughout Scripture of love. Love has to be tested and proved. And as you're looking at this Scripture here that we just saw, we see some testing. And I want to preach to you now about the tests of the heart. I want to show you tonight three ways. We're going to go to three passages, and won't be lengthy tonight, again, because I got to get on the road here, and I had to go through that stinking grapevine, and I have to stop in Kettleman City, and I'm going to load up on some sabritones and some Skittles and some Sprite. All the S's I will have taken care of on my travel bag, and that's the only good thing about this trip. But hey, we'll be there in a little while. But so I got to get on the road. So I'm going to be brief. But we're going to look at three things tonight. Now I'm thinking about Sprite. Okay, sorry. But I want you to look at this Scripture here with me. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness. What's heaviness? Sadness. Ye are in sadness through manifold temptations or through various kinds of testing. So right now, he's saying, you people, you're in sadness because you're being tested in a lot of different ways. Does that sound familiar to you? The word temptations is not, it means testings and examination. What do teachers give in school? Tests and exams. And so as we see this here, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, so that's what's being tried. Your faith is what's being tested and tried, being more precious, much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Now, precious doesn't mean, oh, that's cute, that's precious. It means valuable. Like a precious metal. The trying of your faith that God puts you through is something valuable to you. We don't like it, but it's valuable. And so God puts us through that. And look what it says. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ. That what might be found? That your faith might be found to be worthy of honor and praise and glory when you meet Christ. Amen. When we see Christ, we just sang it. And what he's saying is, look, your faith is going to be tested, and your faith is going to be tried, and you're going to face manifold temptations in your life. But hey, rejoice, because what it's going to do is it's going to make your faith worthy of some honor, worthy of some glory when you get to heaven, and your faith is rewarded by sight. That's an amazing encouragement to me, to know that I'm not just alone here, but that God says my testing is valuable. Amen. Look at chapter 4, if you would. Chapter number 4. Chapter number 4, verse number 12 and 13. 1 Peter chapter 4. Beloved, 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. I love this. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are the partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. So he's saying here, first of all, it's a fiery trial. A fiery trial. That doesn't sound fun. A fiery trial. You know, it's not a flowery trial. It's a fiery trial. But it says, don't think it strange. In other words, don't be surprised when trials come your way. Don't be shocked. I just cannot believe I'm going through another trial. I just got out of a storm, and now I'm going right back. That's how life is. Amen. That's just how it is. Amen. But as we're looking at here, it says, which is to try you. That word means try, means to examine you. Again, it's to examine you. It's to submit you to a test to learn the true nature or character of you. I think that's interesting. Now, let me just help you with this before I get to a couple thoughts here. Tests and temptations, as we know them, are different. Tests and temptations are two separate things. Now, the word temptation here that we're looking at means testing. But when we think of temptation, we think of that apple pie that's sitting in front of us, or pumpkin or whatever pie you like, and you know, man, I'm on that diet and I can't have that, but they put it right in front of me and now there's a temptation, right? So we think of temptation that way, but tests and temptation are two different things. A test is meant to try you, to prove you, to show what you're made of, to help you to learn what is the true nature and character of what's inside of you. Now, a temptation is different. A test is there to try you, but a temptation is given for the purpose of making you stumble and for the purpose of making you fall. That's the difference. A test tries you and proves you to find out what you're made of, but a temptation is given just to make you stumble and fall. And we know from the Bible in James chapter 1, verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Because the Bible says that God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So God's not going to tempt you to sin, but he might put you through the fire to test you. And that's what we have to be aware of. In school, I am at our Christian school. I'm the pastor. I also am the youth pastor. I teach a class in the Christian school. I do graphic design and wear a lot of hats, just like all your staff does. And so as I teach in the Christian school, I give tests. What are the tests there for? The test is to find out, did you get it? Did you learn it? The test is there to find out, is that knowledge real? Has it been grafted in? Have you got it? You know what I don't want? I don't want a student to learn the answer for the test and then forget it tomorrow. I want them to get it in them and stay. And that's why I give them exams. That's why I give them tests. And that's exactly what's happening here. We are given tests and exams so that we can learn something that sticks with us and so that our faith can be proven to be worthy. John Bishop, he's probably been to this church, I would imagine. He was a pastor in Arkansas, and I forgot what happened. I think he may have just had an aneurysm or something in his brain, and he lost all of his memory. He had gray hair. He was an older man. Lost his memory. Didn't know how to talk. Didn't know who his wife was. Didn't know anything. He stood in my pulpit back where in Long Beach, and he stood here. And he will come in, and he'll preach on the goodness of God and how to be happy. He had to learn everything again. Had to learn the Bible again. Had to learn to read again. And he stood in our pulpit probably 10 years ago, maybe 11 years ago. And he preached out of this passage. And he said, trials come in seasons and for reasons. Trials come in seasons and for reasons. And that's actually a good truth. I believe God has tested my heart in the past. And I wonder sometimes, will I pass the next one? Has God tested you? How about this? Is God testing you right now? Is he putting you through something? Are you facing something you've never faced before? Are you going through something you've never gone through before? And you're looking for answers and trying to figure out, hey, am I going to pass the test? Now, you say, well, how do I pass the test? Well, it depends on how you go through the test, really. It depends on what your spirit is during the testing. Are you mad and yelling at everyone through the test? And you're letting everyone know every problem you ever have and posting it all over social media and bashing other people? Is that how you go through the test when you face a health crisis? You want to let everybody know about it or whatever it may be? Did you run to Jesus during the test and draw nigh to God? Or did you run, try to handle it yourself? Did you learn something in your test? That's always a question I ask. Did you learn something in your test? Did your faith strengthen in your test or did your faith weaken in your test? That determines how you go through the test. But tonight I want you to see, and again, I keep saying briefly, but it is brief, okay? Three ways God's going to test you or that he may test you. Go in your Bible. I want to show you three separate passages here and we'll be done. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17 in your Bible. Proverbs chapter 17. I'm keeping an eye on the clock. I have no idea what time I'm supposed to be done, but I'm keeping an eye on it. I'm just messing with you. Proverbs chapter 17. Are you with me tonight? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, thank you. Proverbs chapter number 17. I want you to look at verse number 3 here. And let's see a way that God may test you. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 3. The Bible says, the fining pot is for silver. It was a refining, but the fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. So the fining pot is for silver. So what is that talking about? A fining pot and a furnace. So silver is heated in a fining pot, or what we would call a crucible. You've heard that term before. A crucible. To test it. Gold is tested in the furnace, it's saying. So the first way, and we're seeing God is heating things up here and through the fining pot for the silver and the furnace for the gold, and God tries the hearts. So what's the first way God can try you? One way God will try you is that he will turn up the heat. He will turn up the heat. Sometimes God turns up the heat in your life, and things go from no problems, everything's wonderful, to the next minute, there's some fiery parts of your life. There are some things on fire. Now, if you're thinking about metal here, and again, I don't know a lot about metallurgy. I'm not that person, okay, to answer questions about that. But as I look it up, what is the purpose of testing metals? There's two purposes. The first purpose is to make that metal pure. To make it pure. And so when God is putting you through the fire, and when God has turned up the heat in your life, and when God has made things a little bit uncomfortable and too warm, what's he trying to do? He's trying to purify you. Because when you go through the refining process, what it does is it melts the dross or the waste away. And so God is putting your faith to the test to help get out that self-reliance and to help melt away that lack of faith and that disbelief. And that's why he's putting you through the fire and turning up the heat to get some purity in your life. But there's also another reason, not just purity. And it's there to make you pure, of course, but also the testing process is to make metals precious. To make it precious. To make something valuable. Valuable. Our tests that God put us through are valuable. Listen, a useful Christian must first be a tested Christian. Amen. A useful Christian must first be a tested Christian. Look, I don't want to be the first guy on the new roller coaster. I want to put Brother Steve on the roller coaster first. All right? Look, when the COVID vaccine, everything came out, did you want to be the first one? Hey, there's this new vaccine. Put it in my arm. No, you're like, let me see if they grow a third arm first. I want to see what's going to happen. I don't want to be the guinea pig. That's not what I want to be. And God, if he's going to use you, he's going to test you first. You have to be trustworthy. Amen. You have to be responsible. Why would he give you more if you can't handle what you got? Amen. So he's putting us through the test. Listen to this. 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. Some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. God is testing you and proving you to purify you, to make you useful. To make you useful. Not just for the sake of hurting you. Not just for the sake of, I want to see what they can handle. To use you. Amen. To prove you. Zechariah 13:9, I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. They shall say, the Lord is my God. This is God's way. He's done it through history. He puts people through the fire. He turns up the heat. Amen. Have you ever seen a picture of a crucible? A crucible looks like a cup, but it's very thick and it's metal. And they put the silver in there and they heat it up. And all the impurities float to the top and they get that away. And they keep doing that. They keep heating it up. And that's how the purification process takes place. But did you know the word crucible, they got it from the Latin word crux, for cross, for the cross. And can I tell you, there's been no greater testing of any person in history than the cross of Jesus Christ. And he went through that fire. The heat was turned up pretty hot for him as he suffered hell on the cross for you and me. So if you think it's too hot, I can't handle it, look to the cross. Look to the cross, because he went through it for you and he handled it, which means he is able to succor them that are tempted. He can help you too. He can help you get through it. But God will test you by turning up the heat. I want you to go to Job chapter 1. I want to show you the second one. Job chapter number 1. Just go back a couple books there. Job chapter number 1. God sometimes turns up the heat. Job chapter number 1, we're going to read a couple verses here. So how does God test you? Number one, I want to say sometimes God turns up the heat, but can I say secondly, sometimes God takes down a hedge. God turns up the heat, but sometimes he takes down a hedge. Look at Job chapter 1, verse number 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. The Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? As if he didn't know. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. What do you think he was doing? Looking for people who he could devour. That's what he was doing. And the Lord said unto Satan, if you're looking for somebody, have you considered my servant Job? That there's none like him in the earth? A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Look at this. Hast not thou made an hedge about him? And about his house? And about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Put forth now thine hand. Hey, take down that hedge, God, and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse thee to thy face. The Lord said unto Satan, don't touch Job, I'm keeping the hedge up. No. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself. Put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And you know the story. You know what happens, that Job loses so many things. There's his finances, his family, his flesh, everything that he goes through, that he faces, even his friends deserting him. I mean, it's just over and over, all this that Job goes through. And you can look at that and say, how cruel. No, it's not cruel. If you see what God did at the end of Job's life, and you see what Job learned through the process, and you see what he faced, this is what happens sometimes. God had a hedge of protection around Job, around his family, around his finances, around his own health. And he had this hedge of protection around him because Job was a righteous man. And in the Old Testament covenant, if you were a righteous person and you feared God, oftentimes material goods were promised to you. And you were given money and you were wealth and you were prosperous and you had good health. Now, that's not our covenant. That's not how it works for us. If someone tells you, hey, look, if you just send money here, I'll give you a prayer cloth and it'll heal everything. Don't listen to that garbage. That's not our covenant. That's not our promise, okay? But that was part of the promise. So here's a unique thing where God is taking away the hedge of a righteous person. And can I let you know that for us, righteousness is no guarantee of an easy life? You can live righteous and you ought to live righteous. It's no guarantee for an easy life, but it is a guarantee for an easier life. Because the way of transgressors is hard. And if you've lived in the world and you've been away from God, you know that life is so much harder when you don't have God in it. But you have Christ and it's easier. Doesn't mean it's easy, because no one's life is easy. But God here is taking down a hedge. Now, what I love about this passage is this. The devil thought, man, I've got him. I've got him. The fire is making Job weaker. And he was right. But here's the thing, for the Christian, when you become weak, then you become strong. And that's what I think the devil missed out on, is that, yeah, you can make Job weak, but all you did was strengthen his faith. Amen. And you made him stronger. The Bible says, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. God speaking, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And I wonder tonight if maybe for some of you, God's been taking down some hedges. During COVID, how many hedges have been taken down? How many things that we relied upon have been taken down? How many things that we were putting our trust in? Oh, I've got my health and never missed a day of work in my life. How many people are saying that now? You know, I've got my 401k, I got my finances taken care of, and so I'm all set. And then all of a sudden we lose our job. God's been taking some hedges down to test that faith and say, was your faith in your money? Was your faith in me? Was your faith in your self-reliance and how you've handled things? Or was your faith in God? You see, Job was tried and God let the devil get to him. But you'll notice that every step of the way, God was in control of how much the devil got to Job. Because God knows your limitations. Now look at your Bible at Job 23. Job 23. Let's see how Job was doing with this thing. Job 23. Job 23. After this, I have one more passage we'll get to and we're done. Job chapter 23, verse 10. Well, let's look back up a little bit, verse 8. Job said in verse 20, chapter 23, verse 8, "Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him." He's saying, I'm in the midst of this and I can't see where God is. I'm going through this testing and this trial, and then my faith has been trialed. And Job was not privy to the conversation yet. He didn't know what God the devil talked about. He's thinking, his friends say, "Well, you must have done something wrong," but they didn't know. They didn't know it was a trial of faith. And here's what Job said in verse 10, "But he knoweth the way that I take." I can't trace him. I don't know what he's doing, but he knows what I'm doing. "And when he hath tried me," that trial, "when he's tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Amen. I'll be purified. I'll be valuable. I want to encourage you. Maybe you're going through it. Your decision should be, "God, I don't know what you're doing. I can't see the result. I can't see the result of all this. I don't know where it's headed, but I am determined to come forth as gold. I'm determined to make it through the right way." I wonder today if God is trying to strip away some waste in your life. If there are some things God's trying to get out of your life to purify you. And I wonder if we're going to turn to God or if we're going to turn away from him. The first thing he does, he turns up the heat. Sometimes God takes away a hedge, but lastly, I want you to go to the book of 2 Chronicles 32. 2 Chronicles 32. 2 Chronicles 32. If you're like, "Where is that?" I don't know. I just am flipping back and forth in my Bible like I know where it is too, okay? But the 2 Chronicles chapter, if you go backwards from the book of Job, you'll hit it pretty soon. 2 Chronicles chapter number 32. Tonight I want you to see just three things, three ways that God may bring a testing to your heart. The first way, he turns up the heat. The second way is he takes down a hedge, but I want you to see the last way today. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 32, look if you would at verse 24. "In those days Hezekiah was sick to death, and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him and gave him a sign." We're in 2 Chronicles 32, 25. "But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore was his wrath, there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon him in the days of Hezekiah." So he's made some mistakes, but he's a good man. Well, there's a very interesting verse here I want you to see. Look, if you would, at the rest of this. We're going to read through verse 31. Verse 27, first of all. "And Hezekiah had exceeding many riches and honor. And he made himself treasuries for silver and for gold, for precious stones, for spices and for shields, and for all manner of pleasant jewels." Hey, he's got the money. He's got the position. He's got the power. "Storehouses also for the increase of corn." He's got the food. "And the produce, and wine, and oil, and stalls for all manner of beasts, and coats for flocks. Moreover, he provided himself cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him substance very much." And I think we could all say, man, God's blessed us. God's been so good to us. Verse number 30, "This same Hezekiah also stopped the upper watercourse of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David, and Hezekiah prospered in all his works." And then we get to verse 31. "Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart." That's an interesting phrase. God left him to try him, to see all that was in his heart. Now, what does that mean? What that means is that God let Hezekiah, left him to make up his own mind. There was no direction from God one way or another. And here's the thing, Hezekiah didn't ask. So God didn't give him direction Sometimes as a parent, our kids are doing something, and before they even have to ask, we're telling them what to do. Okay, go here and do this. Okay, you know, they're walking out the front door. Okay, we're going right. We're getting in the car. Then we're going to go here. Then what's we going to do? God didn't give any directions to Hezekiah, and Hezekiah didn't ask. And so God said, I'm pulling back. So what happened here? So he turns up the heat sometimes. Sometimes he takes away a hedge, but sometimes God takes away his help. And he says, I'm not going to give you direction right here to see what you do. You got the storehouses. Hey, you got the food. You got the position of power. You got all that you want. You going to rely upon that? You going to rely upon me? If Hezekiah had turned to God and said, God, these ambassadors from Babylon are coming in and they're asking me this question. What do I do? I thought they were kind of our enemies. I believe God would have just said, don't do it. Hezekiah didn't ask. And what we saw is a man who had to humble himself many times got caught up in his pride saying, I want to show off my kingdom. Look, I want somebody to see these storehouses. And as I mentioned this morning, I think it was in Sunday school, that the Babylonians came in and saw that. And because they saw, they didn't know it was there. Now they know it's there. And they say, oh, we want this. I think we're going to get this. And God left him to see what was in his heart. Wow. We know God will never leave us. We know God will never forsake us. But have you ever had God go silent in your life? Have you ever had it be like where you're praying and you're like, wait a minute. God, are you there? It was David that prayed in Psalm 28, be not silent to me, O God. Amen. Be not silent. I need to hear your voice. Will you turn? And the question when those times come is, will you turn to God for direction, or are you just going to forge on full speed ahead and hope that God just stops you before you mess it all up? That's not how it's supposed to be. Amen. And sometimes God takes that help away. It's not, by the way, when God is testing us, please understand that God already knows what you're going to do. So you say, why does he put us to the test? Sometimes God wants to know what our character is, but I believe God wants us to know what our character is. And the trial of your heart and the trial of your faith is so that you see it sometimes and so that you realize, oh my soul, I can't do this anymore without you, God. I need you more today than I did yesterday. And I've got to have more of God. I can't do it myself. It's not just good for God to know us. It's not just good for God to know our weaknesses and strength. It's good for us to know our weaknesses and strength. And you're here tonight, you say, well, I know his weaknesses. No. Do you know yours? And do you know your strengths? And Hezekiah here, God knew it was in Hezekiah's heart. But when Hezekiah was left to himself, his pride took over. His self-confidence took over. You ever, as a parent, you ever sit there and watch your kid try to open a jar? And you're just watching them like, I can handle this if you need me. But you don't say anything. And they're sitting there, ugh. You know, they're ready to break it on the counter, you know, this whole thing, and they're so upset. And as the father, you're sitting there just saying, man, I could easily help you with this if you'd ask. All you gotta do is ask. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you, right? But sometimes we just don't even ask. But I'll tell you this, sometimes my kids ask and I'll say, keep trying. Say, why? I want them to struggle a bit. I want them to learn what struggle is because life ain't easy. And I want them to sit there and have to work and labor and not just appreciate someone coming over there and doing everything for them. God's not your genie. Amen. God's not your, you just rub the lamp and God comes out. Okay, God, here's my demands for the day. That's not how it works. God's trying to make you gold. He's trying to purify you. He's trying to make you precious and pure. And I think it's important for us to know what our struggles are. Maybe your struggle is, I just rely upon myself too much. Maybe it's I lack faith. Whatever it may be, God will test that. In Jeremiah chapter number 17, verses 9 and 10, you know the verse where it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And sometimes we stop there. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can't know your own heart. But do you know what the next verse says? So your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And it says this, I, the Lord, search the heart. And I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So God knows. But sometimes he puts you through the fire Sometimes he turns up the heat. Sometimes he takes away a hedge. Sometimes he takes away his help so that we can say, you know what? This lack of faith that I have won't do anymore. I need my God. I need my God. And I want, as Job, though I can't see him, though I don't know where he is, though it seems like he's turned away and it seems like his presence is gone and he's taken away his help, and I look to the left and he's not there, and I look to the right and he's not there, and I look up and I can't find him, and I look ahead and I can't find him, though I don't know what he's doing, he knows what I'm doing. And when I'm tried, I will come forth as gold. You say, well, what's the response to all this? If God's putting you through the test, whether he's turning up the heat in your life, whether he took down a hedge in your life, or whether maybe he's just taking away his help in your life, there's two things you can do. First of all, if you're going through it, then you say, God, try me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Why do you say that? Why do you pray that way? Because you're saying, God, let what you're doing do its work in my life. Hey, look, when I'm going through something, I want to learn my lesson as soon as possible so I can get out of that trial. I don't want to wait years and say, oh, that's what it was. No, I'm saying, God, let me learn it now so I can get out of this thing. Try me. God, if you're going through, if you're not going through a trial, don't be knuckleheaded now. God, put me through the test. No. Don't pray that, because he will. God, humble me. No, he says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. If he does it, it's going to be worse. I preached a message long ago about do it yourself. There are several things in the Bible that God says you need to do yourself. Judge yourself, humble yourself. There's a lot of them. But tonight, the first response is either try me. God, you're putting me through it. Go ahead, teach me what I need to learn. But then you can say this, God, not only try me, but God, I trust you. And God, I'm going to go through this thing trusting you. And God, and I've always found the sooner I can sing in a trial, the sooner I can trust God completely in a trial, the sooner I can go palms up to God in a trial and say, I'm taking my hands off this, the sooner the trial ends. I'm not saying that's always the case, but I've seen that pattern in my life. Because why? He's getting you somewhere. He's purifying. He's purifying. And he's making it valuable, precious in your life. You may not understand why you're going through a test. But here's what's different about God. God is the best teacher ever. And here's what's different about God. Sometimes you need to remember that God doesn't always give the answers till after the test. As a teacher, I'm given the answers before the test. But sometimes God doesn't give you the answers till you're in the test or till after the test. And so we have to live by faith. I believe the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You have to believe. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the currency of the Christian life. You have to live by faith. And if you're here today going through something, maybe you're in the middle of the test, what is your response going to be? If the heat's been turned up, if a hedge that you're relying upon has been taken away, if God seems silent and his help is gone, doesn't mean that you're forsaken, and it may not even mean you did anything wrong. It may just be that God's putting you through the test to see what you're made of. And as Job said, let's be able to say, God, I want to come forth as gold, and I don't care what comes, I will trust you, and I will be faithful. And I'm not getting out of church. I'm not getting out of my Bible. I will be faithful and I will come forth as gold. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight with this thing of testing that comes our way. Lord, I pray that we'd just be faithful. I pray, God, that you'd help us as whatever